Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Here's a brief but annoying message to let you know that you could have first heard this episode 9 months ago if you were a subscriber to our Iron Filing Society Patreon offering.
For the price of a pint and a St. Clement's each month, you can get up to 4 episodes a week, 9 months before the rest of the world gets them. Early access to regular episodes, lots of other marvellous benefits, and there's absolutely no adverts or brief but annoying messages like this that will get right on your tics.
Find out more and subscribe now at tftimemachine.com/ironfilings.
Here we go. 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 This is it.
This is Top Flight Time Machine. I am Andy Dawson. Pow, pow, pow.
I'm Sam Nifty Delaney. So what? We're doing the Keegan episode now, right?
This is a Keegan episode. I was just about to say that. Are you prepared mentally for that, Sam?
I'm sorry. It's just that I have prepared mentally, but as you know, I've had a strange morning with lots of things, surprises getting in the way of us recording this so far.
Surprises are nice sometimes.
I had to have a sanity audit from the shrink who called
me. A sanity audit?
I think it was a sanity audit. Basically, the shrink called up and I'd forgotten that he was supposed to be calling. I think it was in my diary, but, you know, I'm not an organised man. So suddenly you're having what is effectively down the blower, a sanity audit. How have you been feeling? What? Hey? Yeah, all right, I suppose. You know, same as always, really.
What's this about? What do you care?
Yeah, well, am I having to pay for this? Fucking yeah, exactly. Mind your own business. But also, I've had an interesting interaction with my mother this morning because I do a West Ham podcast for The Athletic. And during lockdown, we've been trying to do interviews with former players, you know, club legends, as you call them. And, you know, we got some decent ones. But I remembered, I don't know if I've ever mentioned this, that my mum has got a picture on the fridge of her with Bobby Zamora. My mum knows nothing about football, despite the fact having four football fanatic sons, right?
I found myself thinking about your mum the other night, but we'll come on to that later on.
I said to her, I said, what the fuck's this? This is a picture of you and Bobby Zamora. She went, oh, that's right, yeah, Bobby. And I was like, Bobby fucking Zamora? She went, yes, he's a footballer. I said, I fucking know that.
Yeah.
I said, he played for West Ham. He scored our fucking playoff final winner, right? And she went, oh, yes. Yes, I think he said something about playing for West Ham, right? So anyway, it's really weird. And she thinks she's got a celebrity mate. So she's got this fucking big picture, much bigger of the picture she has of me or any of my brothers, up on her fridge, of over the bloke. She doesn't really know who he is, but she gets the sense he's famous. Anyway, we were trying to get these club legends. And I suddenly thought, I'd got a few, and I suddenly thought, God, Bobby Zamora would be great. Fucking hell, I just remembered. My mum knows Bobby Zamora. The reason she knows him is that he's sort of a distant relative. He's married to her cousin's kid, right?
Right, right.
And so she's met him at weddings and other family events, right?
Bobby,
And so, yeah, whatever. So I, you know, I'm calling him a relative of mine, really, on that basis. I think that's legit,
you are.
Right?
Yeah.
And so I've said, Mum, can you try and get Bobby Zamora onto my West Ham podcast now? Yeah. And she said, all right. So she's gone through this elaborate process where she's emailed, she's called her cousin. Her cousin's husband has said, right, send over Sam's email. I'll forward it to Bobby and Bobby will get in touch with Sam directly. And I thought, yeah, I've heard that one before, right? So I've sent my mum the fucking email about 6 weeks ago. I've never heard from him, so I've written it off, thinking he's looked at that and thought, fuck that, right? Fair enough.
It was his fucking chance.
She's gone to me.
The fuck's a
podcast? It's his chance of pretending he's a relative of mine, right? My mum's gone today. Oh, I've just heard that Bobby has tried to contact you several times, but no response, right?
Oh!
So I've checked my spam and all that. Nothing. So I've gone, Mum, did you give him the right address? Right? She's gone, yeah. I've gone, are you sure? I've sent her my address again, right? She's gone, yeah. Yeah. And I've gone, okay, that's definitely it, yeah. And I've looked, I thought, she's made a fuck up here. And I know that in this particular email address I sent her, it has my middle initial in it, right?
Right.
And I thought, she doesn't know how to copy and paste. So she's literally glanced at the email address, missed the fact that I've put in my middle initial, right?
Yeah.
And it's just written down, oh, that'll do. Because that's why I'm actually, all right, so, I mean, that'll do. It's more or less right.
It's
it'll
his
work
name.
It out. Yeah,
it's
exactly.
That work.
Sandalady@email.com.
Yeah. Right? Theinternet.com.
So I've gone, I'm getting really wound up about this. I love Bobby Zamora, and I thought, I look like a cunt now. He's gone out of his way to make contact with me, right? And it looks like I'm fucking ghosting him. So I'm fuming. I've gone, Mum, did you put in my middle name, my middle initial? She went, you're what? I've gone,
You've got a what?
B in the middle of my email address, right? I said, so... You got to make sure that's in there. Maybe he forgot. I wasn't pointing a finger at her yet, right? I said maybe he missed out the B. Now at this point, I'm going to just switch to reading out the WhatsApp message exchange I've had with my mum this morning, which goes like this: I've checked my inbox and spam. Nothing's there. Maybe he is including the B. A lot of people miss that, and she hasn't responded. And I thought, something's dawning on her. Here. So I've written. B is the initial of my middle name, which is Brendan, right? Here's the response she sent to me at 9:44 a.m. Yes, I think I may have left the B out. I have sent a message to Ted. Ted is Bobby's father-in-law. To that effect. And of course I know B is for Brendan, you cunt. I named you. Kiss, kiss. That's it.
Oh, get in there. Bang.
She's fucking done me.
She has.
It's the kiss that I like. Yeah. Of course I know B is for Brendan,
kiss,
you cunt.
Kiss.
I named you. Kiss fucking kiss, dickhead.
Fantastic.
I'll give you a fucking kiss next time I see you. Fucking Glasgow kiss. So between having the shrink on the line and my mum fucking sending me abusive messages, it's been a bit of a morning.
It's been quite the morning. Yeah, I found myself thinking about your mum the other night. I was watching that Talking Pictures TV channel that shows all the old films and stuff. And but they also show repeats of Sunday Night at the London Palladium. It used to be on ITV in the 60s and 70s. And it was a 1965 one they had, hosted by a very young Jimmy Tarbuck, who was doing his very best to look like the Beatles. One of the Beatles.
Yeah.
On mob top and everything. But musical guest on it. Well, Peter Cook and Dudley Moore was on. That's why I watched it.
Oh, wow.
Which was great. But the musical guests were the Searchers.
Whoa.
And what was the name of the bass player again? Was it Frank?
Frankie Allen
on the bass.
Although he was just the bassist, he tended to be their front man in interviews and so on because... I can't remember, John McNally, I think, was the lead singer.
Right.
And
was he shy?
He was, I think he's a bit shy. And Frankie likes to live out loud, like me.
He lives out
loud.
So he
was always the one, I don't know if they did any chit-chat on stage, but if
they did,
it would have been
very
much Frankie Allen front centre.
He was the official mouthpiece, but a handsome man as well, back then. Very handsome man.
And I did
a bit of digging, and apparently Dusty Springfield asked Frankie Allen to father a child with her back in the 60s.
Fucking hell, really? That's
renowned
amazing.
Lesbian,
I'm going to contact
renowned
my mum
lesbian
about that.
Dusty Springfield, according to a story he told once,
Well, listen to the cheekiest thing. I can't remember if I told you this, that Frankie Allen said once in a press interview, and this is probably why my mum's still obsessed with him. And he comes round for tea with her now, right? They're both fucking old. He comes round to my mum's little house for tea, and Rod, her osteopath husband, he feels really, I think he probably feels a bit intimidated.
Cuckolded almost, you could say.
He does feel a bit cuckolded. And, yeah. you know, their relationship is entirely platonic. But my mum still acts, if Frankie Allen's coming round, she acts literally as if it's Paul McCartney's coming round in the 60s. It's not the sort of thing my mum would say, well, obviously, Frankie's coming round, so we have to be prepared for paparazzi and a lot of screaming girls. Because that's how my mum thinks of him, right? And it's like, I think they'll be fine. And like, okay. she'll be talking about for days in advance of him coming. And she more or less indicates to Rod that she wants him either out of the house or up in his room. Because he's got a little office room where he does his work. Yeah.
Rod is not allowed to interact with Frankie.
She sort of acts a bit like she's a bit embarrassed of Rod because he's not kind of glamorous or showbiz enough, right? But anyway, the thing, this is Rod, this is Frankie Allen's power play. When my mum was still married to my dad, who I don't think was a good husband. I think my dad was a bad husband. With hindsight. I mean, I wasn't around when they were married, but all the evidence suggests he was a bad husband with a capital B and H, right? So, but Frankie was always nice to her. And do you know what he said in an interview when they were famous in the 60s? They said, do you think you'll ever get married? You're single. And he said, I don't think I'm the marrying sort. I don't think I'd ever get married. But if I did get married, the only woman I can think of that I would like to marry would be my friend Brenda. But unfortunately, she's already married to our road manager. And he said that publicly. Yeah.
Wow.
And my mum brings that up all the fucking time.
Not surprising.
She probably tells Rod all the time.
Yeah. Wow, but that resonated with her at the time. Well, obviously it did because she's still going on about it.
But as for my dad, he's never mentioned it because he was such a bad husband. He would have either not seen it or probably thought something like, fucking good, have her. Fucking one less thing on my plate. I've got enough trouble defending myself in court non-stop. Wow.
What a complicated situation.
Yeah, anyway. The Frankie Allen matrix.
Yeah. Should we do some Kevin Keegan, perhaps?
Yeah, we might as well.
Where did we leave it? We left it where he was. He wanted to get away and he told Gunter Netter, I want to get away. I don't fit in with this team.
I've had enough of this.
And Gunter Netter said, what if I promised you that I can make it fit together with this team? He says, you've got till the end of the season to convince me. And Gunter Netter said, that's all I need.
Really mysterious.
He drifted away into the shadows, back to his day job of producing the Hamburg magazine, of course, which was taking up most of his time.
Don't worry, I will consider the end of the season as my, how do you say, print deadline. No, it's not a print deadline. Forget about that.
That was a metaphor, Kevin. Don't worry about it.
It helps to focus my mind to think of everything as the publication of Einer Magazine.
So, and then we see a scene where Kevin's making a bit of money on the side, doing what's described as autograph hours, which are, I don't think we've ever, well, we kind of had these sort of things here before, but not really as widespread as over there, where businesses pay the players to turn up and sign autographs for an hour, and the queues stream out through the door into the street. And obviously the businesses get publicity, they get extra customers. And,
yeah, but because you turn up to get your autograph, and while you're there, you might pick up a packet of spuds or something.
Some tins of paint, a bit of wallpaper or whatever, yeah. So,
Some shower fittings.
Yeah. A soap tray that's held onto the wall with suction pads. One of them. Yeah.
It's the sort of stuff that even if you're just at the counter and what the table that Kev sits at, they might have like a little box with some like AA batteries on sale, like a multi-pack.
Or drumstick lollies.
Yeah, and it's sort of thing that you buy, it's an impulse purchase, isn't it? You think, I'm always going to need some AA batteries and some drumstick lollies around the house. I might as well grab them while I'm here.
They've got inside your mind. That's what they've done. So Kev's talking about this and he says, you get paid for meeting people and publicising yourself. It's crazy. It's paid for by the businesses. They pay you. They publicise it and the kids come to get your autograph. And it doesn't cost the kids anything, obviously. But he's kind of thinking, how can we make this so that we charge the kids as well and make a bit extra?
Which I think is a bit exploitative of me by the children. Why aren't they paying me? They're getting time in my company.
Money. They get pocket money. What else are they going to spend it on, for Pete's sake?
I've changed this club and this city for the better. I've changed their lives forever. The least they could do is chuck me, like, I don't know, 15 Deutschmarks.
I've been a little bit like the fella in Taxi Driver where he says, someday a real rain's going to come and wash the scum off the streets. And I think that's kind of what I've been. You know what I mean?
I said to the one the other day, I said to one of these little kids, a little Fraulein, I said to her, are you looking at me? Are you? Well, I don't see anybody else here. So I guess you must be looking at me. Well, she was looking at her feet by the end of it, I can tell you. I made her feel that guilty for not giving me any money.
I didn't consider cutting my hair like the fella in that film, but, you know, Jane said it wouldn't look very good, so I didn't do it.
Get myself a nice curly mohawk, some fancy sunglasses and one of them army jackets.
What else was it he said that I often say at training? That's it, I'm that man who stood up against the scum, the cunts, the dogs, the filth, the shit. That's me. But in Hamburg.
And let me tell you, there was a lot of it as well. And I'm only a little lad, but I stood up to it. All the shit and the dogs.
I think he was a little lad as well, Travis Bickle. I understood where he was coming from.
They probably called him Mighty Mouse.
So again, he's talking about money off screen at this autograph hour thing. He says, it kept going up. 4,000 marks, which is £1,000. Then 5,000 marks. And I was thinking, who's going to pay that? But they do. They all pay it. And he's there, and there's a kid with a broken leg who's got his leg up on the table. And Kev's signing his chalk. And then he says, I did one where I got £2,500 for an hour's work. Okay, maybe I stay for a couple hours longer. But he says, my dad used to work 2 years for that, 12, 14 years ago. He's always doing that, and he's always comparing where he's come from. And
I think that's wonderment. Healthy.
Yeah, of course it is.
Healthy.
Yeah, wonderment at where he's at.
I think it's really healthy, and I think, you know, we've said before, some people might say, oh, God, he loves a pound note. But, you know, the thing is, you can't fault him because he is doing that because he thinks, oh, I could be skint tomorrow. And also, the thing is, he is performing on the pitch. And that's what he says at one point. He goes, people say I spend too much time doing business. He went, but it never affects my performances. And that is what's remarkable, is that he's fucking scoring in every fucking game.
Yeah, he's an absolute freak, isn't he? A one-off.
Yeah, he's a freak of nature.
Yeah, that's why we love him.
Jalapeño.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Jalapeño.
But then he has a little dig at the rest of the German players. He's talking about these autograph hours. He says, I've always got time for the kids. He says, unfortunately, a lot of the German players haven't. They're very arrogant with the kids. He says, I tell them it's a very important part of your job. They wonder why I get all the autograph hours and they get nothing. Well, it's obvious, isn't it? Because he's a nice fella.
Make a fucking effort, that's why, yeah. Hans.
Because I'm here to wash all the scum off the streets, scum like you.
Yeah. It's amazing the way that football was covered, because the things he says in this now, even if you said a fraction of it, it would make headlines for days and days and days. You know,
yeah.
If you were an English player playing abroad and you even had a hint of a dig at the foreign players in your squad, it would dominate headlines.
Hamburg dressing room bust up.
Yeah, I mean, something Keegan that
turns
frank,
on teammates.
They're arrogant.
Yeah.
It would, the word would be arrogant, and it would be splashed across probably the front page of a tabloid, not just the back. But he could say all this to old Brian Moore, and, you know, no one batted an eyelid.
I wonder what the word for arrogant is in German.
I bet it's fucking long.
Oh, there's three to choose from. Hochmutig or Überheblich. That feels like the best one, I think. Yeah. Überheblich, Keegan. There's actually four. How to say arrogant in German? Four words for arrogant in German. This is why we need to be living there, not here.
The interesting thing about Germany is that all these things he's saying may or may not be true, but they all conform to the sort of idea we had of Germans when we were growing up. You know, 70s, 80s. People still thought, maybe it was a hangover from the war, maybe there was some truth in it, that the Germans were arrogant, stern, and humourless, right? And there was something, I was talking about the other day, there's something changed in the German really quickly and radically, and I can't quite pinpoint when. When sort of overnight, we went from thinking of Germany as this nation of kind of mulleted, mustachioed, bad taste, humourless, arrogant bastards, right? Yeah. To suddenly a country of open-minded, liberal sophistication. You know, that, and you'd think of it as youthful, exuberant, quite artistic and cultural. Mm. Do you know what I mean? And it all happened overnight.
Maybe it was when the Berlin Wall came down. Maybe that.
Well, there was a bit of that. But if you think of like Italia '90, the German team that beat us then, and also even Euro '96. Well, you know, your memories are of what's his name, Moller, scoring the winning penalty and then doing
strutting.
That obnoxious celebration. Right. And yeah. I think still then, I think that there was a World Cup in the noughties. I think it was like 2006 in Germany. Mm. And I think Klinsmann was the manager. And all those players who would go on to be champions, like Moller and Schweinsteiger, etc., they were really young. And it was like a reboot of the German team because they'd had some fallow years. And he brought through an entire under-21 team, all into the first team. And they did quite well. I think they got to the semi-finals or quarter-finals, even though they were kids. And at the same time, Berlin sort of became this hipster capital of the world, didn't it?
Yeah, right? Yeah.
So whereas before you thought culture of Germany is just like really old-fashioned and weird, it suddenly went completely the other extreme. And now, when you meet a German, they're always full of fun. And they like are almost the most liberal people, aren't they? They took over from the Dutch. It's like, hey, you want to have sex with another guy? That's great. Do it here. That's fine. That's fun. Why not smoke some marijuana? Sorry, I did it Dutch. But actually it became, you would like to smoke some marijuana and perhaps be gender fluid from one moment to the next? That
Japanese?
Is wonderful. Wunderbar.
I don't know. Yeah, I think the Berlin club scene is probably key to it all. And I don't know.
I think the football did. I think the idea of the football team going from this horrible, functional, kind of defensive, machine-like team of arrogant people who all looked, in your mind, they all looked like Rudi Fuller, right? Every German player looked like Rudi Fuller. And then suddenly, you've got Klinsmann, and then what's his name? The one at the moment, the world's most metrosexual manager, who always smells, touches his balls, and then smells them.
Yeah, Jogi Löw.
Yeah, Joachim Löw.
Yeah.
Suddenly, they're all like that, and everyone's sort of, yes, we are the Germans. We are so much fun.
Maybe
we are open-minded.
Maybe it's the introduction of German Christmas markets to the UK. Perhaps that was what triggered it.
I think that probably made people feel a lot more warmly towards them, yeah.
Well, perhaps we'll
never
know.
So, anyway, I think there's something in that. I think the way that we saw Germans then and the way we see Germans now.
Did you hear that?
What's that?
That's how you pronounce arrogant in German.
Überheblich. Überheblich. Überheblich.
Jalapeno.
When you were a kid, did you ever get sort of area codes of other parts of the country or sometimes the world. If you were at a friend's house and you were ripping off their parents' phone bill, and just ring them up and shout weird, stupid things down the phone, a random number.
No.
We would do that.
No.
So in the old days, what we'd have done is, if we had access to that sort of thing that you've got there, that German voice machine, we'd have found a German number from like a phone book, found out what the code was for like fucking Munich or something, called up a random number, waited for someone to answer, and then just pressed that button over and over again. I thought that was funny.
Until they hung up.
Just someone saying down the phone to them, arrogant, 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 until they eventually just went, fucking hell. And just, you know, sounds like some kids in England dicking about to me.
Again.
I haven't got time for this. I've got my wolves to feed.
Yeah. Where were we? I don't know. Yeah,
so anyway,
the German
he said
players.
They're arrogant after doing his sign-in thing at the shop.
And he says, they wonder why I get all the autograph hours and they get nothing. They must have fucking hated him. And then we see him picking up the European Footballer of the Year award on the pitch during a Hamburg match.
I go and get that now, yeah? That's for me, isn't it? Thank you.
And he talks about how great he was that season. He's not modest at all.
Oh, that was great.
He says the phrase, I played football up until Christmas that even I couldn't believe.
Yeah. Yeah. That's one of my favourite lines he says in the whole thing. And then he says, and if you're playing so well even you can't believe it, then you know you're in trouble.
You start to worry. Yeah.
You start to worry, that's it. I'm a bit worried, Gene. What are you worried about, Kevin? Sit down and calm down. Well, I'm playing so well, it's starting to be a bit strange. I don't know what comes over me. I feel like I've been possessed by some sort of footballing spirit.
he gets his Footballer of the Year award. He's been surprising himself. And then he talks about his salary again and the money that's guaranteed by Hamburg. And then he says, I'm really not money-minded. I'm really not.
Yeah, right.
It won't last forever. He says, if I had to work it out, I honestly couldn't give you a figure of what I earn in a year. But I bet you could. I bet you really could, Kev. I bet you could tell us.
It's around about £280,000, £429.
Give or take a couple of quid. I can't be completely
Depends
sure.
Depends on what the exchange rate is from Deutschmark to pound sterling. Which fluctuates that one day to the next, to be honest.
Right now it is 1.81 marks to the pound. Well, at least it was 10 minutes ago. I don't know about right now. Might have changed. Not sure.
I says to Jean, I said, go to the market and buy yourself a dress. She came back with a packet of AA batteries and a drumstick, and she gave me the change, to be fair to her. And she said, I don't need dresses, but we're always going to need batteries. And that's why I love her.
He talks a bit more, he mentions his contracts, and he says, my contracts are always spread over 5 years because Harry, my business manager, always insists on 5 years. He's got what he calls my five-year plan, and I just let him get on with it. So Harry is the brains behind all of this.
He's an arch negotiator, but all he says is, right, first of all, we need to be tied into this for 5 years. okay, good. We just wanted this to be a one-off thing. No, it's 5 years or nothing. I don't care. Whatever the money is, that's separate. Just make sure that you handcuff us into this deal for 5 years, no matter what.
How much were you planning to pay Kevin for this endorsement? Well, 100,000 marks. Right, okay. I want 20,000 marks every year for the next 5 years.
That
it's
way
part
we can
of the plan.
Spread it. Okay. I guess, but we might not have anything for him to do. Well, fucking find something for him to do next
doesn't
year
matter.
And the year after and for the next 5 years. And then stop, right?
It doesn't
matter.
I know
what you're thinking. Couple of daft Englishmen just come off the fucking boat, right? No, that's not us. We know what we're doing. We weren't born yesterday. 5 years or you can forget it.
It doesn't matter if Kevin has to do all the work over the next 6 months and then nothing else. Just pay the money over 5 years in instalments. That's the plan. It's better off in your pocket than ours.
Harry is amazing, isn't he? And I look at it and I just think, fucking hell. Harry, I don't know. I want to know the backstory is how Harry earned Kevin's trust to the degree that he literally handles all of this shit. I don't know what cut he's on, but even if he's only on 10%, you know, that is a lot of fucking money.
But Kev as well. This is before Harry's actually turned up. Kev's talking about the sponsorship stuff that he does, and he says it's all royalty basis. We don't ask much up front.
Yeah.
So they all he always wants points, which is the mistake that Alec Guinness made with Star Wars, because he just took a fee. Or was it the other way around? Did he take points?
No, he asked for points in the merchandise.
That's right. I knew there was something. Yeah. And it was your likes of your Luke Skywalkers who ended up skinned. They just took a fee for it.
Yeah, Mark Hamill just got paid a couple of hundred quid for the first Star Wars film.
Desperate for him to come back and do more.
Yeah.
But yeah, Kev just says, we're just going living our lives normally and we're not extravagant at all. He says, we don't live like millionaires and I don't think anyone who met us in the street would think that we're millionaires. Which is, it's fine, you know. You look at the way he conducts himself and I don't think he doesn't look like a millionaire. But I don't know what a millionaire Englishman in Germany would look like in 1979.
Well, I would say, hang on a minute, right? He's driving a lovely Mercedes around. Right. He has got a beautiful rig with wrought iron gates with double K welded into them. Right.
Got massive old English sheepdogs running around.
To me, that's millionaire stuff right there. If I had a gate, if I had a fucking 6 foot gate at the front of my garden with SD welded into them, that would be millionaire time, wouldn't it? And then on top of that, he's on a private jet. Going over to France to meet the manufacturers of his football boots with Harry. And I think, well, that's pretty millionaire. So, to be honest, I think that is quite millionaire life. So not that I'm judging for it. I mean, fuck me. I'm all for it. I don't like people who kind of earn loads of money. Like, you hear about Benny Hill. You know, Benny Hill made all this money and famously like lived like a pauper's lifestyle, didn't he?
Yeah, he just had a load of uncashed checks on his mantelpiece behind his little clock on his mantelpiece when he died. Because the checks used to come in, he'd just put them there and fucking forget about it. Because he'd go out to the shops, carry a bag full of tins of beans and loaves of sliced bread and that, and go home, watch telly. Sounds alright, doesn't it?
Think of his
the Benny Hill rig.
Think of his next sketch idea. I just sit there all day writing down ideas for sketches in which I'm chased by girls with big tits. And that, for me, is what this is all about. That's my driving passion. And the money is neither here nor there. I almost don't want the money because in a way it sours my art.
It's almost the purest life a man can lead. He's got his rig. It's very simple, but he has access to being chased by women with big tits for his job.
He can create that at will. He sits there with a blank sheet of paper, right? And he just each day, sometimes he doesn't even write it down, he just draws a picture. Like an illustration of how he wants it to play out, and then he sends that off in the post to the head of ITV, and with a note underneath that just says, "Make it so." Yours, Benny. Here is a picture of me dressed inexplicably as a milkman being chased by some large-breasted women, where a small bald man next to me, whose head I occasionally slap. Make it so. Yours, Benny.
And they did for years and years and years.
Make it so.
And of course, massive in Germany, Benny Hill. Massive in Germany.
Yeah, not surprised.
Yeah, it's that kind of thing, isn't it? We'll leave it there because Harry's about to turn up, and we've hinted at Harry. We'll have more of Harry and the trip to Nantes.
The business Svengali.
The business Svengali and the private jet and everything in the next episode. There you go. Hope you've enjoyed
it. Make sure you watch it. I believe it's available for... expire soon on ITV.
No, it's actually someone has put it up on the internet on the Daily Motion website.
I don't know whether or not that's legal, but it's done now, so I don't think you're culpable if you go and make the most of it.
It might last, it might get taken down, who knows, but that's where it is, and there's a link to it on our Twitter.
Check it out, it's well worth it. Another thing that I've been meaning to say on all of our podcasts is sign up to our newsletter. I think we've got about 3,500 subscribers to it, which is great, but, you know, you should get more because so many of the things that we talk about on this podcast are in the, you know, so whether it's a video clip or a book or a record or anything that we've been talking about, on the podcast. You will get that in the newsletter every week and loads more. Besides, you often get sort of heads up about new merch and discounts and stuff like that. So if you go to tftimemachine.com, you can sign up to the newsletter there, dead easy. It's free and you can unsubscribe whenever you want. So get involved, dickheads, because it's fucking amazing.
Right. Yeah, you've been told. Now piss off.
Yeah, do one.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.